Andy.
Adam.
What is funny?
What is funny?
I have to ask funny people what's
funny. I don't know. Whatever makes you laugh, I guess.
What makes you laugh?
A lot. A lot of stuff. You gotta give me a more narrowed down.
More narrowed down, yeah. Question. All right, so you did this in between SNL, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was 2006 season.
Yeah, we shot it last summer.
So what, you know, talk to me about what it was like taking off from that, and you know, going into a movie and then going back to that.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
It was very tiring, but it was really cool. It was like the realization of a dream, starting with getting SNL. To have it go as well as it did, and then to be making a movie with my two really good friends, like, and be working with them at the show, it was fucking awesome.
And that was one of your requirements? to get your Lonely Island people in there?
Oh, no. I mean, we certainly told them that.
You wanted
it. We wanted it, yeah. But, you know, they heard about us initially as a threesome to start with, because we were all working on the Movie Awards with Jimmy Fallon and a bunch of the SNL producers and writers. So, you know, they knew of us as a three-man entity. And then they brought me into audition, and it went well, so they asked the other two guys if they also wanted to audition. And Norma did, and Akiva said he just wanted a writer's meeting. And we, the three of us, put together a writing packet as well. Because we're huge SNL fans, so we're just like, yeah, any capacity that they want us, we're interested.
And when you were auditioning for SNL, you threw up during it, you were pretty nervous.
Yeah, the night before the second one, I threw up.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And Yorma actually threw up the morning of his. I came down to the hotel, and I was like, dude, I threw up last night. He's like, I just threw up. We're like, aww.
So what's the process? I mean, to audition, digress a bit here, Saturday Night Live, I mean, do they give you sides, or do you just go in and be funny?
No, yeah, I mean, you're not doing their material. They want to see what you've got.
Okay.
So they basically say, like, you know, they'd like to see impressions or characters, but do anything you think is funny and that you think they could use you for on the show.
What did you do?
I did a combination of stand-up that I had been doing and some characters and impressions that I made up, like, 4 days before, because I didn't have any.
Wow.
But, it went well enough.
Clearly.
Yeah.
On SNL, that you're featured and you're as the digital short person. How did that all come about as far as just being, not having, you don't have a character. I mean, you have a lot of different characters, but.
Right.
You're like the copy guy or.
No, I'm known as, like, the digital short is my character. We had shot stuff like that on our own. Like, that's what we were doing before we got to the show. Like, we had our own website, The Lonely Island. And, we had a few pilots, and Akiva's our director, and you know, we all know how to edit and write together, and so.
Yeah, those are funny. I saw the Nintendo one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, those are funny.
The Nintendo one's good. That's those two dudes, I have to say. They did that one when I was out of town. I came back and was like, you guys nailed it! Basically they did this one called Bing Bong Brothers, which was like a Yin-Yang Twins sort of spoof, and showed it to everyone at the show, and they were like, yeah, you know, if you guys want to start just doing that stuff, we're always looking for pre-tape material so we can segue between in-studio sketches, because, you know, you have an act like that.
Huh.
You know, on TV, they need something to go to so they can swing the sets around to lightning speed and the cameras and stuff, so they encouraged us to try it, and we did this one with Will Forte. It was his idea with lettuce. We sort of turned it into a commercial for lettuce. It was me and him doing like this dramatic conversation and then taking huge bites out of these iceberg lettuce heads. And they aired it, and they were like, yeah, that went good. You know, if you guys want to try doing more, we're totally open to it. But they didn't bring us in specifically to do that, and it sort of happened organically, which was cool.
You're not going to do the live ambiguous superheroes, are you?
And maybe you can't do it?
Yeah, you're not going to do that live, are you?
You'd have to ask Smigel. I'll do anything Smigel asks me to. That guy is awesome.
So about Hot Rod, I don't know, have you ever seen that shirt, Talk Nerdy to Me, that women are wearing these things?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think there's definitely, like, this trend going on that geeky is kind of cool.
Geeky is cheeky.
Yeah. And yeah, so this film...
We just made up a shirt! We're gonna be millionaires!
Yeah. What'd you call it?
Geeky Shiggy. That's a t-shirt that the three of us are gonna market.
You bet. You'll see them out tomorrow.
So what do you think about that? You know, the kind of the awkwardness and the, you know, the clumsiness of the movie, but it's pretty real, I think, a lot of people can relate to.
I think that's certainly been a trend that's been going on where, like the nerds are coming back. I mean, part of it probably is the internet, honestly. It's become such a huge dominating thing in culture that there's actually a huge value placed on nerdy dudes now, which is fantastic. But comedy-wise, awkward, unaware idiots, I feel like there's a long tradition of that. You know, we are constantly referencing The Jerk as one of our favorite movies that we sort of drew from, and sort of before this whole thing, even Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, those kind of movies where Ace Ventura even was just a crazy weirdo at the heart of this movie that is sort of almost even outside of the movie in their performance, you know what I mean? Where it's so ridiculous that it's above, you know, taking it seriously, which we love. It's our favorite type of thing.
Have you seen Eagle versus Shark?
No, I really want to.
Yeah, you'll see some of that in there too. Yeah. Obviously, there's a Napoleon Dynamite kind of thing.
Yeah, that's getting compared to Napoleon Dynamite even more than we are.
Yeah. How do you? Let's take that for a minute. Obviously, they're different movies.
Yeah.
Hot Rod and Napoleon Dynamite. You have more of a sense of purpose and actually,
right.
You have an actual storyline that you're trying to save Frank and all
right.
That. But how are you gonna? Because you're gonna get that question 8 million times as you go through.
Yeah.
This. How do you distance yourself from Napoleon Dynamite? Because I think it's a good thing, but it's also
you want
to be the next Napoleon Dynamite.
I like Napoleon Dynamite. We by no means set out to make a movie like Napoleon Dynamite. I don't feel like our style is really that style. It's much more surreal and energetic, and kind of our signature stuff is more based in movie moments, you know, high energy montage-y, you know, kind of stuff, or sort of taking the piss out of cliche stuff that you've seen in movies and TV a lot. And we've done that digital shorts a little too, even with the Dear Sister thing with all the shooting and the song keeps coming on and stuff like that. I understand how certain people draw the comparison just because costume design alone is pretty similar. But it's like that in a lot of movies, you know. I feel like Napoleon Dynamite is a big story because they made it totally unknown and it exploded, which is awesome. And I think definitely just in the movie marketplace, that did free us up to get a little more creative control, which is cool because people are looking for new voices again, which is awesome. To me it's an entirely different sensibility. Not anything against them because I think that movie's awesome. And I love Nacho Libre too. But
that was great.
But I feel like what we're doing is different, for sure.
Do you have a Footloose kind of background? Who thought of this, the Footloose scene in the woods? Absolutely.
It was my idea.
I was cracking. Not that you drew that from,
No, we were watching Footloose, and I said, we have to do this scene in a movie.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am the Hollywood snitch, so we got to get a little dirty.
Okay, yeah. That was a long time ago. Me and Akiva were roommates in L.A., almost might have been 4 or 5 years ago. We've been liking that bit. We were just watching it and we were like, what is going on here? This is so, it's taking itself so seriously.
Being older at the time, that was the thing, man.
Wanted
to be Kevin Bacon. And
I remember when it came out. I have two older sisters and Bacon was on the wall.
Right.
Which is a good name for an album.
There you go. So you got a shirt and an album already out of this today.
But yeah, I mean, it was the idea that there's a movie about a town where dancing is illegal was hysterical. I was just like, God damn, that's great.
Did you
just dancing out your rage is such a funny concept.
Did you do your own stunts?
I'm sorry.
I did as many as the studio would let me do. I wanted to do more, and they kind of had to sit me down and be like, you can't do this because if you get hurt, we have to stop the movie.
Like the motorcycle bit?
Well, some of the harder crashes, they were like,
the first one on the ramp, were you?
Yeah. That's, but that is a dude. Make no mistake.
Wow.
That's not.
He really that wasn't a, like a doll?
No.
No, that was a guy hitting
that?
That's
a guy.
Ooh.
I'm going out of my way to mention that because I have heard that people on the internet are saying that they think it's CGI, but.
Wow.
It's really real.
Oh. Did you cringe when you watched that?
Oh, yeah. It was brutal.
It was in one take?
One take.
My God.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to do
that again. Yeah. Yeah. It was, but hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, he hit the Grand Prix hard, and he was like, did it look funny?
Yeah, I don't know why we think, like, people really getting hurt is really funny.
I don't know why.
But it is.
It really is.
It's been around forever.
Yeah.
Since Charlie Chaplin.
Honestly, yeah. Like, never don't, like, see a dude crash.
No. Because it's reality. Now, Dave is the long-haired.
Yeah, drummer. Bill Hader.
He was also in Knocked Up.
Yeah,
he was the producer guy with Katherine Heigl.
Right.
Now, how...
I haven't seen Knocked Up yet.
Okay.
I saw Superman.
I won't give any plot out of that.
But I know they had a small part in...
So, now, Seth Rogen, do you guys all meet and talk? I was just curious about this. Like, Seth Rogen, do you know that group?
Because I
think there's
all
little
guys.
Groups of people
in
Hollywood. How do you interact? How do the groups interact? Like, where would you run into a Seth Rogen?
Well, we all were at, like, the Spike TV Guy's Choice Awards or something like that, you know what I mean? And then we all ended up hanging out after and having a good time. Like, those dudes, that whole camp, they're such nice guys. They're awesome, and they're doing such good stuff. It's super exciting. And, like, Michael Cera and Jonah Hill were buddies with those guys, too.
It's going to be super bad in about a month or two.
Yeah.
So.
Have you seen it?
I see that Wednesday or Thursday or something.
It's kick-ass. Yeah, it's great. And I'm super happy for them because they're the sweetest dudes. And Hader's in that, too. He's amazing.
Any, snitch-wise, any future Sandberg in any of the Seth Rogen films?
Not that I'm aware.
Any cross-pollination there coming?
No. I mean, I'm not against it, but...
Okay. I don't know if you've been approached yet or
not. No. I don't... I've been just hot rod, living and breathing hot rod.
What's up with your shaggy hair kind of overall trademark? Was that intentional, or?
I mean, I've had this haircut since high school, and I just sort of gone with it. Yeah. I'm from Berkeley, California. It's kind of a California vibe. And if you look at the old photos of my father, he had a similar thing going on. He's a big hippie, so.
Your father wasn't a stuntman, was he?
No. Far from it.
Just checking.
He's a photographer, though.
There you go. Now, how was it working with, I wanted to ask you, with Ian.
Ian McShane?
Ian McShane, yeah. Was he?
Awesome. Well, we were, like, massive Deadwood fans.
Same here.
And he's, like, the most badass of the badasses on a badass show, so.
He was pretty much elsewhere again with a heart condition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a little more of an updated wardrobe. It was great. He's, like, this charming, sweet British dude, and then as soon as the camera starts rolling, he's just the most badass son of a bitch. He was, you know, I don't think he wanted to, like, do a lot of cursing, just because he does so much on Deadwood, but aside from that, it was, like, we couldn't have asked for more. Like, he was great.
How about the fight scenes? Were those you?
Most of that stuff is us, yeah. Like, if you're talking about, like, busting through a wall or something, like...
Oh, no.
I wanted to do that one, so I have no idea, dude. But, we did, like, 90% of that stuff. A lot of times they'd be like, we'll have the stunt dudes do it also, but then we'll just let you guys do it for coverage. And then we would do it, and he was, like, really fit, like, good shape. And we ended up...
You mean the stuff with Frank?
Yeah, the fight scenes. We ended up using almost all, actually, me and him, just because... He was so into it, and I obviously was like, well, fuck that, if McShane's doing it. Like, we really threw down. It was pretty cool.
How big of a impact did Lorne Michaels have on? Was he in the background, or was he hands-on?
No, he let us do our thing. Like, he was really supportive and sort of like, you know, he's like carries a big stick, that guy, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to say too much, and then when he does, he's generally right, and you definitely listen. You know, like, he's definitely learned from doing the SNL so many years, like, if he he sort of decides who he thinks is funny and why, and then he kind of cuts you loose and lets you do it, and then if he thinks you're doing your best, he'll put it out there, and if not, he'll tell you so. So, you know, he'll kind of be like, I was thinking, you know, maybe we do this a little more like that, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's good, and then you make adjustments here and there, but for the most part, he was like, he wanted it to be our thing, and let us kind of get loose with it.
What are some of your long-term, you know, kind of like jump over the moon, like down the road, get an Oscar kind of goals?
I honestly, like, this has all happened so fast. I'm doing, like, this and SNL were those goals. Mm-hmm. So, from this point on, it's kind of just icing. I don't even know where
we're getting the signal, so just alerting my colleague here. we got the wind up.
We can talk all day.
Yeah, no doubt. What's next? I got to know for the snitch. Anything coming up?
I'm voicing a character in an animated movie.
Oh, okay.
Called Space Chimps.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Space Chimps. Why does that not surprise you?
That's what everyone says. I'm actually really happy that I'm that I'm associated with a name like that.
Yeah, why does that not shock me, though?
Because that's exactly my style.
All right. Hey, do you mind if we get a pick?
No, not at all.
For the snitch, it's always good to have... the PR. Can you want to do one?
You want to get it with him?
Yeah, I want to get one with him. I'll get one.
All right.
You want to get one? Can you get one with me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to build the snitch persona.
I love it.
My kids are really jealous. They love
I
was instructed to tell you that.
Oh, good.
They're 14 and 15. So.
Please tell them I say hello.
I will. They're crazy. When we do the geeky and cheeky shirt, we'll be all set. Oh, cool. That's came out good.
Cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks you guys.
Good luck to you.
Thanks very much.
I hope it makes $1 billion.
You and me both.
You and Will Ferrell are making Ricky Bobby 3.